Well, hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here for our weekly show on Brighteon.tv called The Tenpenny Files on Your Health. Over the last 23 years, I've given literally thousands of interviews on radio, TV, podcasts, live conferences, and seminars, and almost all my information in one way or another has been about vaccines. But with decades of medical training and experience, there are so many other things that we need to talk about that affect your health. This is an educational show where I will bring you valuable information, great informative guests, so that we can discuss things on your health. Tonight, my special guest is Celeste Solem. We'll be right back. You really want to hear what she has to say. Sit tight. We'll just be back in just a minute. Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years. Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off. Celeste Solem is an investigator, researcher, author, and broadcaster. Her background includes photojournalism, environmental medicine, government and military shenanigans, volatile economies, and so unrelated, organic farming. Throughout history, God has called certain women to step out from their household onto the global stage of history. Celeste says that she was born for a time such as this. God has strategically and gently placed her in careers, events, and situations that are now converging during these end times. Celeste maintains her strong faith with continued study and of the primary languages and concepts of the Bible. Cycles are converging, all pointing to a cataclysmic period between 2020 and 2050, a period that many scientists believe is the beginning of the sixth extinction level event. Celeste, I've been so fascinated by your topics, and I'm so pleased that we met a couple of years ago. Now it seems like it's 20 minutes ago, but it's like a couple of years ago, and we got to have dinner and spend a whole evening together. Welcome to the Brighteon.tv show tonight. Thank you so much for being here.
It's an honor to be here.
You know, I've been fascinated by your work. I've read much of what you've done. I've listened to many of your podcasts, and I've been so fascinated by everything that you're doing. But the thing that's always fascinated me, and I was going to take a couple of deep dives down it periodically, but then I think, no, I'm not going to do that. Celeste already has that covered, is the whole concept of synthetic biology. Can you start by explaining to our listeners what that is and why it's such a threat?
So most of us became aware that something was going on with the food supply with GMO. And most of us are familiar with genetic modified organism food. And we accepted that. Some of us chose organic and we thought we were safe. Well, unfortunately, we were not safe because the people in charge are Darwinian evolutionists, and they are doing directed and experimental evolution on our food supply. And actually, quite frankly, the whole world, all the air that we breathe, all the food that we eat, even our water, everything is contaminated down to the atomic level. And so I kept waiting for somebody to do something about the elephant in the room, which was synthetic biology. Nobody did it. So I said, all right, a year ago, I'll do it. So I dove in. And in a nutshell, what synthetic biology does is it rewires you from your original design to a biohybrid, where you're part human, part chimera, part machine. And then it through a cavitation process, you become like a shell that they can stuff with soft robotics and or demons or disembodied spirits or other nasty stuff until you're depopulated. Also, another thing I think that is really important to understand the difference between GMO and synthetic biology is that it changes the function of anything that it modifies. So GMO didn't really change the function. An orange was still an orange. It may have been chimera, might have an insect in it, or might whatever it was, whatever they injected into it. But these days, an orange looks like an orange, and it might not have any natural anything in it. No proteins. Everything in it is synthetic, every single thing. And then it changes your function. And so it changes the way we function, and it changes the way the animals function and the plants. I just had this, I'm doing a deep dive of my own, taking it to the next level. So I did a webinar on synthetic biology, but my next one is just finding out the mechanisms of it and getting a little bit deeper understanding. And I found out that there's something called hydraulic something depletion or something like that. That's happening to all the plants because they're taking the oxygen, CO2, and nitrogen out of our atmosphere. Well, if you take all that out, our planet is lifeless. And one mistake that I made in the beginning when I was talking about synthetic biology and really with COVID was that it was life, synthetic life. It's not. About 2021 in the journals, the scientific and the medical journals where I hang out, because I have such an exciting life, I found out that they were starting to call them entities. And that really, truly, they are entities. Some of them can be sentient. Many of them are sentient at this point, and they have a mission, pathological mission in your body or your brain or wherever they land. But this hydraulic thing, I found out that they're giving trees embolisms in the trees, because trees, most people don't realize that the plants have like a circulatory system. You know, they've got the roots and it goes, you know, I'm going to do this in a PowerPoint with Dr. Lee Merritt on Wednesday. I've got it all mapped out here. And yeah, they're actually giving like embolisms to trees, and it causes them to die really fast. Like all we were told that the geoengineering is the reason that all the trees are dying. That, yeah, they got us focused on the geoengineering and the terraforming of our planet, but they were actually terraforming all biological life. And they made that decision back in 1975 at the first Asilomar conference, where a group of people, the policymakers and many people, said that they were going to genetically or modify all life on Earth. That was 1975, and they have been working night and day towards that end.
You know, Celeste, every time I have a conversation with you or somebody about this, I mean, there's several mind front thoughts that I have. Number one, who are these crazy people? Number one. And number two is, don't they realize they got to live here too? I mean, after they wipe us all off, they change all of our food, they make vaccines all the plants into edible vaccines. Or they embolize all the trees, and then all the trees are gone, then all the oxygen is gone, and we all just die. They're doing all kinds of things to fish and plants and cows and chickens and on and on and on. I mean, are they going to just live off of, what do they live off of when this is the whole thing done? I mean, who's going to do the simple things like prepare their food, do their laundry, you know, pump the gas, pump the oil to turn it into gas for their private jets. I mean, how are they going to, who are these people and what's in it for them?
So how they think they're going to weather the storm is they hate carbon life form. So what they've done is made synthetic humanoids, and they believe that they are going to upload their consciousness and their life into these synthetic bodies. They won't need oxygen. They are also doing lots of genetic modification with our genome, with species like the spiny mouse to regenerate organs, tetrarchs that can live in austere conditions. They can live in a condition of extreme temperatures, no oxygen. There's another one, the resurrection plant. So they're genetically modifying people. And they started this with all the treatments with COVID and what was in that. So they've been experimenting, and that's how they think that they're going to weather the storm. They're going to be sadly mistaken. They're not going to be able to do it. You know, it looks good on Black Mirror that you can upload yourself into a synthetic humanoid. But the reality of it is, I think it's much more complex than they realize. I think they don't know it all. And how do they get them to buy in? I remember when you were young and I was young, we were very idealistic. And, you know, you think they're being taught evolution is right and it's the way to go. And rich people are whining and dining these young kids that don't have any common sense. They don't know. They haven't used their critical thinking skills. And quite frankly, I love it, this part of the conversation to talk about. There's a video. Have you ever heard about Mike the Headless Chicken?
Mm-mm.
So in about the 50s, you know, that was a time when there was a house and a picket fence and a car in the garage and a chicken in every pot. So the man goes out on every Sunday and, you know, he'd chop the head off the chicken and would go to the wife and she'd make chicken dinner. Well, this man went out and he chopped the head of the chicken off. He missed the major, so the chicken didn't bleed out and it left the primal brainstem in. And that chicken lived for 2.5 years. He went into circuses and road shows. You can see it on YouTube. And he acted like he was like pecking around. He tried to mate like the chickens. He did everything. The farmer fed him with like a eyedropper until one time he actually was on a road show and he aspirated and right down the wrong pipe.
So, I mean, this is a real thing. I was thinking when you started this, it was like a cartoon or something.
No, this is serious. So what they're trying to do is basically give us a lobotomy through all these neural weapons and vaccines and stuff and get us to act with our primal brainstem. And that's these kids. I remember when my daughter looked at one of my papers that I had written and she goes, I didn't even do that in college, you know? So kids are not taught the critical thinking that we do learned when we grew up. And so they're basically lobotomizing everybody. So these kids are just throwing money and they're wined and dined and they think that they're doing the right thing. They think they're saving the planet when they're actually destroying the planet. And so
do they think that they're going to end up with those synthetic humanoids and there'll be just enough of them running around on the planet to do the things that they need to have, like, you know, humanoid slaves, I guess you could say them, to do some of the things that I mentioned, you know, that they can prepare some food and take oil out of the ground and create gas for their private jets because they're not going to give those up. You know, they want all of us to give up our cars and have electric cars that it's just not going to work. And how much energy does that take? I saw a video the other day. There was a guy that he was in it looked like a gas station, but it was a Tesla. It was like an electric car charging area. And he showed how much it took to put gas and electricity into his car. It was the same amount of electricity to run a town of like 150 families for like a week. and it took that much to just charge up his car. I've seen some videos where farmers have talked about when they're out in farming, they're combining or doing whatever they're doing, and they run out of gas. Like right now, they can just hop in their pickup truck or have somebody hop in a pickup truck and go get, you know, 10 gallons of gas and come back and fill their combine up enough to get it back to where they can, you know, fill up the whole tank. And they were talking about how are we going to do that if these combines have to be electric? I mean, like John Deere was trying to force all of the farmers to get electrical combines and tractors and stuff like that. I mean, there's seems to be no thinking through these processes. And like what you were saying about embolizing the trees and killing off the trees. I mean, didn't they realize, you know, it was a really big deal when they started stripping the Amazon and creating cow steer farms because they were cutting down all the trees. Now they want to get rid of the steer and they won't have the trees. I mean, I did an interview earlier today with somebody who said, don't forget that they hate, not only do they hate humans, but the reason that they're doing this against everything God created is because they really hate God.
Yes. That is the absolute truth. They imitate God, and in every way, they actually want what is called a synthetic virtual twin. So they want all of creation without God and put us into this metaverse type thing where everything goes. What they're pushing us to in reality is like, have you seen the movie Avatar?
Yes. An
Avatar world.
Yes.
Like a it's a metaverse world. It's not real. The colors aren't real. Nothing's real. It's all synthetic. It's all manufactured. And that's the way they want us to live until they usher us out whenever, you know, they decide that they want to. Another thing I think is interesting that I just learned that I'll be sharing in the next webinar is that when I originally talked about COVID and its construct, how it was constructed and that it had a payload, I gave some suggestions and I took heat for those suggestions, but they ended up turning out correct. But there was something that I didn't know about. I had no idea about. And that was, it was computer code in the COVID construct. And it was developed in 2012. It was called a Frankenstein open frame. And I saw it in one of my biotechnology things, and it showed a lady going up in a cage to a UFO. And I go, that is the strangest thing for, you know, to be in like a biotechnology journal. And then it just so happened that Saturday, I'm a part of a science committee and we met and they were talking about the murals in Bank of America, which are very similar to the Denver airport murals. Have you ever seen those murals?
I have. I've seen some of them for sure. Yeah.
So it had that same lady in a cage. So back in 2020, I had to go to Washington State and I saw people. I went to Nordstrom's and I went up where the lingerie is and the mother of the bride stuff was. This is like after we got out of lockup, right? I go up the escalator and it's stripped down and it's got chain link fence and there's people. This is America. This is north of Seattle in cages filling orders in America. And I thought, well, this is really weird. Now I'm going to tie this all together. So the next summer, I went to a Christian event in Missoula, Montana. And I won't tell you what happened beforehand, but anyway, almost got jailed. But anyway, for not masking, not having my mask on. But I got there and, you know, it's a beautiful fairground and lots of grass, lots of area. It was a family event. So kids could ride their bikes or skateboard or do somersaults or whatever. But they had these little wire cages next to where they put the bicycles. And the kids were playing in the cages. They weren't running around. They were caged. Now you think about the biotech. This, what synthetic biology is doing, is caging our proteins in our body. And it's manifesting. People are actually acting like they're caged. And when you think about now, people don't reach out even after we don't have a lockup anymore. We have not resumed the normal cultural greetings and reaching out to people that we used to do. We just don't do it. Why are we not doing that? Because we were locked up, we were caged. They tore the fabric of our cultures and societies around the world as humans, and then they inserted this synthetic culture that they want us to live in, that we are caged, that we're siloed up, and that we're not to reach out.
Wow.
It's kind of
How many,
interesting.
yeah, I mean it's all planned and it's been planned for a long, long time. So, I mean, we've got so much more to talk about. So we're gonna take a very quick break here. We're gonna take a quick break. So quick sit tight. There's more to come on the Tenpenny Files on your health with Celeste Solem. And we've got some really interesting things to follow up with. And we're not going to end on a bad note. We've got some things at the end of this that's going to be a whole lot better. So sit there. We're going to be right back. Gold and silver always has value. It never goes to zero. And it's a great place to store your wealth. It's a great place to have it for inheritance, for your children, for your grandchildren. And when you can actually get the coins itself, when you can actually do that, you can actually even have a coin collection. I think that some of the older Walking Liberty silver dollars are just amazing that come from the early 1900s. And I think that everybody should have some of those, not only for history, but as a place to protect your wealth, protect your money going forward. It never goes to zero. Like our paper fiat money with hyperinflation and the things that we may be seeing in the future, our dollar could literally go to zero. It could be worth nothing. You might even not even be able to barter with it, but you will always have value in gold and silver. You'll always be able to eat with it. You'll be able to trade with it, and it's a great place to store your wealth. Particular company that we work with because we really, again, trust their product. We believe that this company has a high level of integrity, and they are great with customer service. To learn more, go to bit.ly/goldsilverdrt. That's bit.ly/goldsilverdrt. There are an awful lot of people that are affiliates for Mike Lindell because we all really appreciate what he does for this country. We appreciate the hard work that he does, and we appreciate his products. He has more than 200 products in his store, everything from pillowcases and comforters to doggy beds and to wonderful slippers and bathrobes. There's something for everybody and something for everybody in each age group. I mean, one of the things that I really like a lot are the pillowcases, the children's Bible story pillowcases that I just think are such a great way when you tuck your child into bed at night to use these pillowcases that they come from his store to start to tell the story about Adam and Eve and Noah and the Ark and different things. And they're colorful and they're really pretty. So from children all the way up to your gentlemen that want to have like nice slippers or to your dog, the doggy beds and things are just wonderful. So my pillow is a great place to shop for just about anything that you want. And if you use our affiliate code DRT, that helps us, that can benefit us, that helps Mike Lindell, and you'll get a great product for anybody that you're shopping for. Well, welcome back, Celeste, and thank you so much for being here with us tonight. We're speaking about some really interesting things about synthetic biology and depopulation. And you know, I remember back at the beginning of COVID when I first started talking about this, and you know, I was one of the first people in March of 2020 because it was just an extension for me. You know, I've been talking about vaccine stuff for 20 years. And so it was just the next level laterally for me. And people asked me at the very beginning, what do you think their main thing is? What do you think this whole agenda is all about? And I heard myself saying on interviews, well, number one, it's about depopulation. Number two, it's about control. Number three, it's about changing your God-given genetics. And the whole time that this is coming out of my mouth, I'm thinking, where is this coming from? Where did I come up with this crazy idea? But it's turned out that it's absolutely the truth that they really have an agenda planned for us to depopulate the planet and get rid of all those worthless eaters. Estimates say that 78% of the planet has had at least one jab. Do you think that that number is accurate?
Unfortunately, I think it's probably that's low.
Oh,
so
wow.
there's a statistic that I learned at FEMA that 3% of people will hold strong to their ideology no matter what. They are rock solid, whatever that ideology is. 7% will do something once or twice, maybe a protest, maybe write their congressman, maybe go to church, you know, whatever. What, but once or twice. But the shocking thing, and I tested this, I tested it in every sector. I tested it throughout my time working with FEMA. And that is that 90% of people will do nothing, even if it means their death and the death of their loved ones. That is
Wow.
crazy. So to me, I'm thinking that honestly, probably only 3% of the population has pure blood at this point, and that's non-vax people. You know, we don't know the damage of the transmission factor, which was built into those vaccines.
Wow. You know, I read a paper yesterday. I was looking up some things about, you know, pseudouridyl and the difference between messenger RNA and modified RNA and all the different RNAs that are out there, which there's a couple hundred. And I stumbled across a paper that was saying that was written back in 2021 by, you know, and the scientific researcher said that it's, and this was 2021. I think the statistics are probably higher now, but the idea was even then, this person said that he felt that about 20% of people that had gotten even one shot, about 20%, were going to develop myocarditis at some level, even if it's asymptomatic. Of that 20%, so that means like 200,000 out of a million, 200,000 out of a million. And if there's 70 million people that got the shot, do the math. So that may sound like 20% may sound really low, but until you do the math. And of that 20%, 50% of that 20% will be dead in less than 5 years. And up to 75% of that 20% will die within 10 years or less. And that was a really sobering number when you especially do the math. And now what you're saying, if it's 90% of 8 billion people, and that 20% of that is billions of people. You know, I said again early on, I said, you know, people would say to me, oh, yeah, right, Dr. Tenpenny, when do you think these people are going to start dropping over dead? And I said, in about 3 years. And that's right where we're at. And that's what we're seeing. And I've actually had friends who've said to me, I've actually come to grips with the fact that most of the people I know are probably going to be dead within 5 years. And I've just accepted that they made that choice. And I've accepted the fact that that's probably going to happen. And I don't run around wringing my hands, trying to say, what can I do to prevent this? What can I do to stop it? It's going to happen. And it's like plan for the worst, hope for the best. And if it doesn't happen, praise God. And I'll be, you know, glad and really, you know, happy that they're still around 10 years from now. But if they do, I'm not going to be pounding my head against the wall. And sadly enough, I think that people at some point we're going to have a critical nexus when the 100th monkey is going to show up and people are going to get it. And they're either going to be a huge global sadness and remorse and groaning and mourning, or there's going to be a huge blow up that people are going to be like, they can't believe that this is happening to them and to their family. Do you have any sense on that? What you think that might be?
So I think I wasn't in person, it was online, a military conference, and they were talking about the coming pandemic, the big one, the hemorrhagic one. And it is computer code. It will be sent by frequency. It is not a pathogen in any shape or form. You will get the frequency just like we're talking over the air right now. it will send the code to bleed out as the first patients, this is at a military conference, you guys, as the patient, first patients are coming to the hospital bleeding out, the computer system starts to melt down because it is called Ebola of systems or Ebola of networks.
Wow.
And this is networks, and we are all interconnected in this network. Now, that was the purpose of Y2K. People go, oh, Y2K was a dud. No, Y2K got all the computers and all the sensors talking to one another for this big interconnectedness that we are dealing with right now. And they say that out of the ashes of that meltdown and that major depopulation event will be the New World Order or whatever you want to, the Antichrist system, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I think part of that, and I want you to address this, it has to do with this whole concept of blockchain. And
yes.
You know, and the whole thing is like blockchain with the mark. And you actually, when the information you sent me, you said, yes, they even call it that. Which just like blew me away because, you know, at the beginning, a lot of people, you know, from both of us are strong Christian women. And a lot of people said, well, do you think that this COVID shot is the mark of the beast? And I talked to a lot of pastor friends of mine about it. And I said, it's not the mark, but it's definitely a mark. It's definitely people who get it are marked. You know, they're not marked with the, you know, the book of Revelation 666 type of mark that we're talking about. But now you're saying that there's the blockchain thing that they call the mark. Talk about that a little bit. Tell us what that is all about.
So I've been following blockchain. So I believe that the B system started in 2018 in Poland. It was over Halloween. The precursor of the Mark of the Beast was also on Halloween in 2005. So that's how long they've been working on this. The tenets of that, I'm just going to refresh people's minds because they may not even know that there was the precursor of the Mark of the Beast that was passed. It came down from the UN to the federal government, to the states. It has three pillars. One, the government owns all property, including your body. That all biological life will be electronically identified. And the third is 24/7 surveillance. We mounted a huge resistance at the state level, at the federal level. But as they would say at work, the train had left the station. There was no way to, it was ramrodded through. At the time, it was called the National Animal ID System. Of course, they consider us animals, but now it is known as traceability. It is mandatory, and it's mandatory not only in the United States, but around the world. And so part of this, so blockchains had this big thing, and I go, this is the B system. It was the year that they, the militaries unveiled their transhumanist agenda. And so it is a sacrificial system, and that goes in. Now we're looking at an integrative weapon system here. The first time we saw that is you had to give blood to prove that you didn't have COVID. And there's, you know, many doctors are still asking for that. What happens to that blood now with the open research and the Emergency Authorization Act and everything? It gets to be experimented with under precision medicine all around the world. And so you were basically, it was a blood sacrifice of type because your most innermost secrets and barriers are in your blood. And I'll tell you how important it is. I have a immune deficiency and they genetically, and they don't even know how I live. And my doctor, my immunologist said, well, the only way that we can figure is that your body figured out an expression pathway. And that's the RNA. So I don't mess. I don't take anything that's going to mess with my DNA because it's already messed. So that's how important. So if you might have a genetic defect, but your RNA can go around that and make pathways. Everybody but 30 people when I was diagnosed, they died before they were 2 years old of infection.
That's
how important it is to protect your DNA. Now, I know we're a little off the subject of blockchains. Once again, blockchain is technological evolution. They consider this an evolutionary project. It is Marxist. I found a link between Marxism, synthetic biology, and the LGBT. I was shocked. I did an article on it. It was, yeah, there really is a link. They are literally, like when we were talking before we got on air about reprogramming, they are literally rewiring and reprogramming our children to be LGBT and all these XYZ, whatever. There's so many, I don't even know. And they want you to have your digital ID. They figure you are not to have an ID. And I talk about in that article, it's at shepherdsheart.life. I talk about how they don't want you to even own your own ID. Like, I identify with Jesus Christ. I'm Celeste Solem. They don't want you to have that. They want you to have the avatar, the digital ID. See, we talked about how it's switching over now even to our currency. So they really are going to be pushing for this digital ID. If you don't take the digital ID, you will be locked out of everything. Have you seen The Last Enemy?
Mm-mm.
I think it's PBS. It might be BBC. Might be BBC. It's 5 parts. It's really good. It's older, but it gives you an idea. This is a brilliant scientist, and it has to do with vaccines and everything. So it's very fascinating. So halfway through, he gets turned off. He was supposed to evaluate the TIA, Total Information Awareness Program, that was proposed in the United States, and supposedly because there was such an uproar, they got rid of it. Well, they never got rid of it. They just went underground and continued on. So it shows in graphic detail, this guy tries to get into his apartment, and then he finally gets into the apartment. There's no water. He tries to sell a clock, and they require ID, and he can't even sell the clock. He can't even pawn anything. So he has to go live like in the homeless area because he has no options, because he's been turned off. That could happen to any one of us at this point, as soon as they get this digital ID. When you take that digital identification, you are saying that digital identification is me, is I'm not even going to say it's me, and then you forsake who you are as a human, who with God-given rights and everything. So all of that goes by the wayside. You are no longer, you're just a node. You're just a blip on the screen with no rights. You can be exterminated at any time. So that's, you know, it's, I would really seriously, people go, oh, it's just the, what is it? That driver's license.
The real ID.
It was a real ID. They're also pushing for biometrics. I know that I've had to get several computer upgrades and phone upgrades and a car upgrade, and everything wants me to do biometrics. If you give them that, it's like giving them your blood. Once again, God is giving you certain barriers to protect you. And if you give them away for free, then you're going to have consequences. You're going to be owned by these people.
And I think that we don't have any idea at this point in time what that really means. I mean, we can talk about it, but I've heard a lot of people say that the reason that Americans don't revolt, I mean, like, they have done fairly sizable revolts in Europe. Like, the most recent one is the farmers. You know, I just loved it that 10,000 farmers in France loaded up and took their manure spreaders, put manure all over everything in their parliament and president areas, and at least got temporarily, I don't think it's permanent, but at least temporarily, they backed off on some of the things that they said they were going to do in their green agenda. And I think they've only done that is because a lot of these people are coming up for re-election. So they can say, oh, yes, we need to back off. And then they're going to leave office. And then the next round of nefarious critters come into play. But I think that we don't revolt here for a couple of reasons. Number one is we have a really large country. I mean, you can put all of Europe inside of the United States. So what's happening in various places makes it really hard to unify. And I think another thing is we haven't felt the pain. You know, we can still go to a grocery store and most of the stuff is still there. I mean, it's not as deep into the shelves as what it used to be, but it's still one or two there. And we can still get on an airplane and go places, and we can still drive our car. We can still get gasoline, and gas is reasonably priced, relatively, even though food prices have gone through the roof. You know, what we don't have any idea what this level of pain is going to be like. And I think they're going to keep it that way until they are absolutely ready to like batten down the hatches, and it's going to happen quickly and all at once. And so, what can we do to prepare? What people are listening to this, what can we do to prepare for that and to do our very best to stay out of the system? I mean, I know like Catherine Austin Fitz talks a lot about like using cash, not as much as you can, not using your credit cards, you know, get your money out of the bank, put it in gold and silver, you know, put it in food storage, you know, get water, on and on. But what do you think, Celeste, that we can do as an individual and maybe also collectively as a society to do our best to prepare for this and resist it?
The first thing we need to do is really get right with the Lord and use His word. Let it seep and permeate into our being and give us hope. You know, we look at the evil. We've talked about some evil this evening, but you know what? There is only one creator, and He created everything. He has the power to undo. Why does He not do it right now? Because He is giving evil its turn. And then it will be judged and it will be done away with. Unfortunately, it's going to be a little bit bumpy ride. And it's also to test our faith. You know, He's been a gracious God to us. He's given us life. He's given most of us abundance and provision, every good thing, families, incomes, you know, like you said, the ability to get around. But as children, we turn our back on Him. And when He says in His word, don't do this or don't do that, or do this and do that, and we don't, then now we're kind of, it's kind of like it says in the Psalms, you know, we're these young people and the people doing this, we're breaking off the yoke, we're a revolution against God. So that's why they're doing it. So that's the first thing, is to get right with the Lord. And
Absolutely.
I realize that different people have different faiths. I am a Christian. I believe the biblical way, but prayer, meditating, good, doing loving acts of kindness, that is a good way to live, just because none of us is going to be able to be alone and do it, be an island. We need each other. In the old days, you know, the women would get together and do, you know, do the quilts or make apple butter or whatever they would do, you know. We need each other. One person maybe can do shoes. Maybe Sherry can give us up for our sore throat, you know. You know, we can't all do everything. So it's good to network, not just socially, but okay, what are your skill sets? What, you know, let's kind of complement. Let's pool our skill sets together. And prayer. I can't emphasize, my prayer life in the last several years has changed dramatically. There is a man that I interviewed, Dan Duvall, and he wrote Prayers That Shake Heaven and Earth. And you can actually extricate this technology from your body through prayer, the power
Wow.
of prayer. I mean, it is amazing. And this comes from a man who used to engineer and design synthetic biology.
Oh,
And then
wow.
he turned the other way, and it is very detailed. Like he's talking about meshes and this is and that is, you know. And some people go, but that doesn't apply to me. Well, I would get the book and customize it. And if there's something that you've prayed about that it isn't trying to just hide, you know, or you're trying to duck some lesson that you're supposed to learn, then customize it. You know, maybe there's something else that you're supposed to put in there. So you can customize the prayers. It has everything from bloodlines, how to get the technology out, the ringing of ears, the tinnitus, all sorts of relational things. These are super good prayers. Like I said, you can customize them to your very own self. And like now, I always say I'm thankful and grateful. Every time I eat something, I should do it when I drink. This is my 2024. I'm going to try and do it when I drink too. And that please take the poisons and toxins out of my body and please replace it with nutrition and health. And I just give you praise.
You
So
know,
there.
I have a girlfriend that told me this was right before Christmas. We were having a conversation, and she said, I don't know, she'd been to some Bible study. I don't remember. And she said that what she had learned to do in 2023, and I'm adopting this in 2024, she calls them toss-ups. And she said, so all day long, she's just tossing up. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for this. I'm grateful that I can sit here in this chair and I don't have to be laying on the floor. Thank you, Lord, that I've got light and I've got heat. Just little thank yous all day long that we don't have to sit and do a 40-minute, concentrated prayer. Yes, that's good, and yes, it has its place. But I can tell you on days that I'm more cognizant of that, and I'm do it just puts you in a whole better mood. It just puts you in a whole different place. And prayer really does change things. I mean, what was the name of that book that you said for our listeners, so they if they want to listen to it, what was that book?
It's Prayers That Shake Heaven and Earth by Dan Duvall.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I think that that's really important, because if you go backwards and you're reading in the Old Testament, the relationship that Moses had with God, and that God was gonna, wipe them all out. He'd had enough of them, and he said, "No, wait a minute, just hold your horses here a little bit. If you pulled them out of Egypt and you wipe them all out, there'll be a lot of other gods that will talk smack about you. Just stop it." And God repented and changed his mind, which means our conversation, we're not just, little puppets of God that we just are doing exactly, this whole thing. We can have a bi-directional relationship with him and have this conversation so that we can, plead our case and have him listen and change directions for us and open doors, and like what you said, like get all the synthetic biology out of our systems, because we don't know how much has happened to us from the transmissions. We just don't. I think both of those things are really, really wonderful. Well, as we're closing out our last couple of minutes here tonight, Celeste, what words of wisdom would you like to leave with our listeners tonight?
Well, I just love the loving kindness. I remember talking to, well, I saw this little old lady and she was about 4'9" and she was looking at the top shelf and she had some bread and she was trying to get the label, you know, read the labels and she couldn't because, you know, those grocery stores, it was a Safeway back when I shopped at Safeway. And I said, "Would you like me to get those loaves down for you?" Oh, she goes, "Oh, that would be so nice." This is like the 1980s. And so I got him down and she's inspecting him and she made her decision. She goes, "My name's Esther. Do you know that's in the Bible?" I said, "Yes, I do." And so I looked for her every time I went in the grocery store after that. And I never did see Esther again, but maybe she was an angel in disguise. I don't know. But it did taught me an important lesson to give of myself. And maybe you're a baker, you can cook for a nursing home or somebody that's shut in or sick. If you're a musician, play outside the post office or someplace on your town corner and just because music puts a smile on people's face. if you are, what other skill? Oh, so a person that sews is always a nice. I don't have time. I admired this cousins of mine. She made beautiful patchwork quilts. Well, you know my schedule. I wouldn't have time to do a patchwork quilt. And she sent me a beautiful patchwork quick quilt. And that touched my heart. It just really touched my heart. And people have sent me artwork and different things, and it is such a blessing to me. And each one of you has a gift that God has given you that you can share with other people. And that's what I'm really encouraging people around the world is to share the gift that God has given you with others.
That's beautiful. So Celeste, you have so many different websites. I mean, on your thing that you there's so many. Where is the best place that you would like to direct people to be in contact with your work and what you do and to support what you're doing? Because you're doing just dangerous things and amazing things, and we all need to support each other and we need to support you. Where would you like them to go to follow your work?
Well, Celeste, celestialreport.com is where you can support my work. You can also donate. You can sign up, and I have a newsletter and keep you guys informed and that type of thing. And you can find the videos pretty much. I mean, we've all kind of been scooted to a paywall, but I'm such a giver. It just tears me up when I have to put anything behind a paywall. I give most of my stuff for free, so it really does help your subscriptions because you're supporting my work. Like I just had some, like sometimes my books are like $300 a book, or sometimes I pay special people. Like I just had a weapon specialist come on, and so I pay a nice speaker fee for them. So it really does help me. And then, so you, but most of the places you can find me, just about anywhere, the new metaverse and Facebook, I just can't negotiate. Sorry. But pretty much I'm everywhere else, but I am starting to notice. And I did a thing with Barbara O'Neill, and we just had a frank, lovely woman-to-woman talk about health and natural ways. They took it down, even on.
Oh, wow.
On Rumble, they took it down.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
So
really?
I heard some rumblings about Rumble that they maybe have been bought out to the dark side. So we none of us know. So we just keep on doing what we can do as
Yeah,
long as
put it
we
on
can.
Rumble, and I would say put it on CloudHub too. Live streaming to CloudHub has been a challenge for us. We're in negotiations with them all the time to try to make it better. But after the fact things, because CloudHub will never sell out, they'll never shut it down, they'll never be censored. And I keep telling everybody that's got these marvelous things that they do, yes, you can put it on YouTube or Rumble or wherever you are, but be sure you put it on CloudHub if you want to secure it. So it's cloudhub.com. So I would encourage you to get a place over there. So Celeste, I want to thank you so much for joining me here tonight. Tell them one more time where it's their website. It's
CelestialReport.com.
celestialreport.com. That's wonderful. So thank you so much for joining us here tonight. Thank you for everybody who's been here this evening. I close out all of my broadcasts, whether they're live or pre-recorded, with one of my favorite verses from the Bible, which is Romans 12, 12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, mark next Monday night where you'll find us here again at on brightian.tv for Doctor for the Tenpenny Files on your health. Remember to lean into God and trust Him for everything. He'll never let you down. So have a good evening, good night, and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out: Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body's vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.